Hi, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo World Report Connectivity, episode 293, the one where we talk about Metroid Fusion. I'm Neil Ronahan, and joining me today, as always, at least when I'm here, I don't think he ever breaks, except for that one week, John Raritan.
Yeah, I've only not been here on a week that you were also not here, so that doesn't count.
Yeah. Also joining us is the person who did host on that off week, Alex DeFreitas.
Hey, it's me, Alex DeFreitas. You may have noticed my voice from that one time when John and Neil weren't here.
Yeah. Also all his lovely edits. And yes, I assume he puts in his repartee and responses to what we say. I don't listen to the
episodes. Have you not listened to the podcast, Neil?
They're just full of me interjecting myself.
Yeah. It's just, well, actually, John.
It doesn't even feature us. It's just Alex.
We also are joined, as on every Metroid Game Club episode, Matt Zawadniak.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a play at taking like the most appearances spot from you guys.
Yeah, that's
from
fine.
The actual host.
Just give me some time.
Yeah.
You're just a very opinionated person, which helps in these instances.
You know, Matt, if you just want to like send me audio files, I'll just start uploading them to the feed.
Sure, as you mean, I can't hear them until like the podcast is out, so I'll just make like really generic audio files about what I think they're talking about that week.
Yeah,
and yeah.
Like, there's the Smash Brothers news. I'll just be like, I think Sora is a fine addition. Like,
just like, oh, I guess they're talking about Super Monkey Ball. I could say something about that.
Yeah, I'm very good at Monkey Target.
Someone did take number two. All right, number one.
Also, who only missed one, which I think was because of some kind of scheduling conflict, that's Zach Miller.
Hello, you may remember me from such educational films as The Funeral of Leadfoot Larry and Alice's Adventures Through the Window Glass.
I was like hoping they would be Metroid Fusion jokes.
No.
Maybe? No. I don't know. That would have been good.
That's Simpsons joke.
Yeah. No, yes. No, I mean, I got that.
Okay.
But we are here to talk about Metroid Fusion. We're wrapping up our Metroid Game Club. By the time you hear this, Metroid Dread will be out. Really taking into question that we probably should have done this like 2 weeks ago.
It's timely. You could listen to this while you're playing Metroid Dread.
But I think after we had some kind of like testy episodes about Metroid 1, Metroid 2, and Super Metroid that you can go listen to if you're really dying to, if you haven't already. This is going to be weird because I think we all just really dug Metroid Fusion.
Man alive.
Yeah, we're going to have to look for things to complain about.
Speaking of that wall jump.
Yeah.
It's the only one that I mastered, Matt. It's the only good one in the entire franchise. Fight me.
And you can't use it for anything.
I mean, that is true. There's not a lot of use for that wall jump.
There's a very early save room where you can get like a missile tank from it.
Yes, that's
about it.
So Metroid Fusion came out in 2002. It was part of that like Metroid revival in that era. It came out the same day as Metroid Prime, which came out on the GameCube. And I think at the time, I know for me personally, I did not get it when it came out. I got Metroid Prime when it came out, but I did not get Fusion right away. And I finally played through it in its entirety on the 3DS and kind of liked it. But this recent playthrough that I did, boy, I love this game. And who was there when the game first came out? Zach, I think you were, right?
I bought them both same day. I knew that Fusion was their contingency plan. But the two of those games together, I mean, they really helped me kind of understand Metroid games in a way I hadn't before. And then that's how I became a Metroid super fan.
I was also there from the very beginning. This was my first Metroid game ever. At the time, I was in elementary school. And I believe that I got both this and Prime on the same day at launch. And I feel like Fusion is probably the one that resonated more with me at the time, because I don't think I even finished Prime until it eventually came out on the trilogy, the Prime trilogy. So this was my grand introduction into the franchise, and I loved it then and I love it now. It's interesting that in so many ways it is opposite my experience of Super Metroid, like not only just the game itself, but also the circumstances where I played it. but I still think it's really good. It's just really, really good at what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we'll get deeper into that a little later, but I made the comment earlier as we kind of were going through like what our ranking for Metroid games are for the 2D Metroid games. And I almost feel like Fusion feels like Breath of the Wild does to 3D Zelda, in that it's harder to directly compare to like Super or Metroid 2 or Zero Mission, because it feels like it's just a different scope. More focused, more linear, but I still think it's very, very good. Now, John, when did you first come into Fusion?
I got it after Prime. I think I got Prime around when it came out. And then I would have got Fusion, I think, like the following. I got it for like my next birthday after Prime came out. And it would have been, I may have messed with Super or the original Metroid a little bit before then, but it was the first 2D Metroid game that I owned, and that I actually like played through. And I had the opposite experience of Matt. I gravitated to 3D games right away as a kid, and always kind of had trouble going back to 2D until I got a bit older. So for me, like, Fusion was like, this is fine, but like, this Metroid Prime game is incredible. So I kind of had the opposite experience. And then Neil, like you, I played it when it was an Ambassador game on 3DS and was like, this is pretty good. And yeah, playing through it again now, this is one of the best 2D Metroids. This is an incredible game.
Yeah, I think we had a really similar takeaway from it from playing it now. And I think we kind of both stumbled upon the fact that it's because we actually are going to get to play its sequel. So like the story, the narrative.
The story matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, I mean, like, yeah, either I played it when I wasn't as invested in the Metroid series, you know, in the 2000s, or by the time I played it all the way through on 3DS, it was like, they're never going to make another one. Because at that point, I think when I played it on 3DS, yeah, that would have been either right around Other M or post Other M, where, I mean, we will talk about Other M since it's basically like a Fusion prequel remake. I don't know. But we will talk about that at the end. But this is Fusion's time to shine. But like, there definitely is that sense for a very long time that like, we're never going to see Metroid 5. That's blasphemy.
And Fusion is also such a large shakeup to the status quo.
Yeah.
That like, you almost just kind of feel for 20 years that there just can't be a sequel to it, that because they'll never find a way to do it. And that's part of why it's so crazy that they finally are, because this isn't just a brand new Metroid. This is a brand new Metroid where like Samus committed an act of treason against the Galactic Federation. Yeah. And now, I guess, is half Metroid, because that's completely how vaccines work.
I have a theory on that, Matt, but we should probably hear how Alex.
Yeah. Alex, played this game first. How did you come into Fusion? Because I think you might be the person who played it for the first time the latest, right?
Yeah, I first came into Fusion 3 weeks ago when we started playing it for the game club. Yeah, actually my first 2D Metroid game was this year, was Zero Mission. So yeah, the Metroid games have always been a bit of a gap within my gaming knowledge until this year, and I've been really enjoying it, and Fusion has definitely blown me away. I think just the ease of playability on a handheld, it's so bite-sized. Like, I would just kind of nod it every day for about a week and a half, and you can blow through it pretty quickly like that, just playing like 20 minutes here and there. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's my favorite. Yeah,
it's very well crafted to handheld play.
Yeah.
I mean, even that's kind of mirrors how I went through it on this playthrough too, where I was playing it on Wii U. But I was doing it in like 20 minute, half an hour chunks here and there. And then when I kind of hit a certain point in the game, was just like, well, this is ending tonight. And then yeah. Like blew through probably the back half. I'm trying to think of the exact moment when it happened. I think it was a little bit before Nightmare.
Yeah. This had the thing that we talked about on Super Metroid, where it's like, you start playing it for a little bit, but it's like, man, let me just get to the next. And I think some of that is because it's so calibrated for handheld play. There's always a save room not too far away. So there's always that temptation to be like, I can go a little bit farther. Like, I'll just get to the next save room. And that's, you know, 5 minutes. And you just keep doing that for hours.
Yeah. And it's something that I want to kind of hinted at it earlier. But Matt, it's something that you pointed out when we were talking about this game in the Discord, about how Metroid Fusion is almost like a lot of mini Metroid areas kind of linked together, and it just slowly opens up. And I was in the middle of playing it when you kind of made that comment that, like, when you start off, like, you know, the Atom computer is basically just like, go to this exact point, do this, come back. And then as you get further in, it's just like, you need to go find this enemy, I don't know, somewhere in this sector. And things start to open up more and more. I think the failing of this game is that when you reach the end game, like, you're going around for 100... and it's also going for 100% completion at that point just seems dumb. You're like, no, like, I need to finish this. Like, time is of the essence narratively, even if you do totally have the time to go back and clean up things in different sectors.
Yeah, I think the biggest failing of the game is probably that that point where it opens up and is just fully explorable is just way too late.
Yeah,
I think that if that was like the halfway point of the game and then the rest of the game was a fully open Metroid, then that would have been basically perfect.
Yes.
At the same time, I feel like this game had a very intentional design behind what it wanted to do and like the story it wanted to tell. And I feel like it's linearness and the fact that it isn't open until the story kind of wants it to be a little bit open. Like it feels very integrated into the narrative. Yeah.
It's when you stop taking orders is when it starts to become open. And like narratively it works really well. I feel like kind of thinking about it, being done playing it for a week or two, a thing that I feel like maybe could have even been on the table, knowing what we know about Metroid Dread right now. I feel like if you have that end game where you kind of have to you're hunted by various SAX because there are multiples of them. But it's almost like, I don't know, maybe it's like you're on a different planet and there's a bunch of evil robots called Emmys and there's multiple of them that are hunting you down. And that central conceit might be part of the reason why Metroid Dread took so long to make, because in order to have that kind of AI for enemies, you needed to have more powerful hardware.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, we had some complaints about the Zero Suit segment at the end of Zero Mission. This game could almost use that.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Like, if you transplanted that into the end of Fusion, and instead of Space Pirates, it was a bunch of SAX, even if they were fairly scripted, that could be if that was the escape sequence where, the escape sequence was less about being on a timer and more about being chased by 10 SAX through the station, that would be awesome.
That would. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird that they mentioned 10 of them, because when that moment happens, like, I could feel it in my stomach. I mean, a lot of the story moments really worked for me, and that was one of them where I was like, oh no, I'm gonna have to take down 10 of these things.
And then it never happens.
And yeah, no, you fight one.
Like, that line could more or less not be there at all, and nothing would change.
No, absolutely. It's so weird that they left it in.
It does make you wonder if there was something else on the table at one point.
Like, maybe Sakamoto was planning an SAX game.
If we listen to the man at his word when he was talking about the genesis of Metroid Dread, like, I think that concept of having Samus being hunted by multiple creatures is something that he was exploring during this time. And eventually that was the game plan for Dread back when it was a napkin math idea in 2006 or whatever. Speaking about the story moments, like, if you are coming into this blind, I don't know why you would be, narratively takes place after Super Metroid, where the last Metroid is now, I guess not, it's the baby Metroid is now dead, but they, I guess the Galactic Federation have something.
Cell cultures.
Yeah. But Samus gets attacked by the X parasite. They wind up using those Metroid cell cultures to fashion a vaccine that then, saves Samus from being dead. But now she's got basically baby Metroid coursing through her veins. And then she goes...
And a Batman gauntlet.
Yeah, she does have a Batman
gauntlet. For some reason.
Why not?
Because it looks cool.
Pretty much.
It does look cool. But then she winds up on this space station and... The X-Parasite is there, and it takes her going through these different sectors where she sees that the places are kind of modeled after areas she's been before. Like, SR-388 is one of the first kind of areas that you go to when it's modeled after a place that she destroyed. And along the pathway, runs into the X-Parasite, starts getting her powers back. finds SAX. There's two beautiful moments that really stood out to me while playing, and I think they did for you as well, Alex. One, the Ridley teases throughout it are really good. Because you don't have to see him in cold storage. Like, there's a point where, like, you can go in there and just see him. And then there's later on, you're kind of funneled through that area. And then that's when it, like, you know, you realize it's been taken by an axe and you know that fight's coming and you're going to hear his epic scream at some point soon. And then around that same time is when you see that they've been, you know, experimenting, making new Metroids. And there's that dope ass moment where SAX is there trying to kill the Metroid and they just attack the SAX.
That is cool.
That moment of walking into the room, even knowing it was coming, I still inadvertently like paused and had just like a, oh man, moment when you walk into that room, because they cut the music. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. There's like an emergency or some sort of alarm about
because that's like when you're breaking out of the routine, so to speak.
Yeah, you see behind the curtain.
Well, you break into the facility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of by accident.
Well, yeah, it's Adam doesn't tell you to go there, right? Like, that's one of the instances of you not going where you're supposed to be going.
That's kind of the start of when you are just like, screw you, computer, that's my old CEO.
I really think that, like, the way that this game foreshadows stuff like that is really good, and the way that it executes on its story beats is all great. I remember with like Ridley and cold storage, when me and Joe were playing this for the Smashterpieces bonus episode, we were just talking about it in DMs, and like I asked him if he ever went into cold storage, and he just said that he audibly shouted, "Oh good, you kept that." And I really, really love your first encounter with the SAX, where it uses a power bomb and you just kind of have to watch it solve this room for you and kind of hope it doesn't turn around. That room is set up so well, where it's like you use a bomb to see, like, okay, how do I need to open this wall? And then that bomb opens up a block that you just drop into. So you start heading over to the left side of the room, and then the door opens.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Some of the scripting is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Some of it less phenomenal, but yeah, most of it is very good.
Not only that, but after that, once the SAX goes down to the bottom of the room, if you follow it too quickly, then
you can very easily drop into it.
Well, yeah, there are crumble blocks that you will probably fall for and end up directly in front of the SAX.
Yeah, those crumble blocks are cruel. Those were awful. I had to redo that just that first section like four times.
Oh damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one SAX bit. I think it was right after there's one right after the spider boss, that
spider
there's you blind drop into a room that the SAX is patrolling and you can't see where it is. And I was really good at landing directly on top of the SAX and taking damage. And it does a ton of damage.
That's the one you just got the space jump. So you like space jump kind of above it and then.
Yeah, but you don't have that good of control. And if you go down too slow, then she just shoots you.
Oh, maybe you don't have that good control.
I forget. Do you get like healing before the SAX moments? Because this game doesn't like love to give you a lot of health.
Not that one.
Yeah.
I did that one with two hits.
Hold on. How did I have like full health going into that?
You probably just did the spider boss better than I did. But
I mean, yes, but
because it's right after like all the power's been shut down. Mm-hmm. And so the doors to the save or the door to like the recharge room is literally sealed. Like you cannot heal yourself.
I think that's the area where if you like get through like one part of that, there's a recharge room that you can find hidden.
Yeah, it's right past the SAX bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just went into it with no room for error, which was a little annoying.
That was one that I used the old the Wii U save state, and that helped out a lot there.
Yeah,
what I did was I figured out where it wanted me to go after the SAX fight, and then just went there without losing the SAX's trail, and it just instantly ends the chase.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to your point, some of the scripting is not perfect. It definitely is a little clumsy because there are ways to kind of like just like, oh, you know where it's supposed to go. So if you just get to the end of this, it'll just end with no consequence.
But as a blind player, the SAX is so powerful, and if you are caught off guard, you stop paying attention to your controls, and you just get murdered in three shots.
There are legit jump scares from it.
It's the footsteps. Holy crap, the footsteps.
Well, that area that I was just mentioning, where you drop down into the room with it, you don't know it's coming. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if you're not listening. Like, if you're just chugging through, like, that's just, you're just rolling ahead.
You can hear its footsteps pretty far in advance. Like, I'll grant you don't know exactly what spot it's in on the room, but you should definitely know it's there.
But not if you're, like, I don't play with my volume cranked up, because I'm usually, like, in a room with somebody
especially
else.
Especially if you think it's on a portable, is how this game was designed for.
Yeah, I'm playing it, you know.
That's why it has specific settings for the integrated speakers and the headphones.
You understand that what I'm saying, though, is that, like, I'm not necessarily playing it in a situation where I'm like, I can have headphones on, and because it's a Game Boy game.
We all don't have surround sound in every part of our life.
Look, I haven't lived till you played a Game Boy Advance game with a subwoofer.
That's so. The other thing is that as a Game Boy Advance game, I oftentimes don't want to hear it.
even given
the potential to hear it, I may choose to turn it down.
On this very podcast, when we talked about Zero Mission, I talked about how annoying the Game Boy Advance music, it dragged down Zero Mission for me. I did not have that same thing with Fusion, and I mean, I think it's a pretty simple thing. It's because the music from Fusion is more original, whereas the Zero Mission stuff, I'm like, these are all classic things that I've heard in better circumstances.
Yeah, Fusion does a better job with its sound chip, and I've heard mixed opinions on, I'm skipping ahead a little bit here, but mixed opinions on Ridley's scream, which is roughly 10 times louder than, like, the sound of God. Like, it's so loud. But also, as someone who wasn't playing this game at a super high volume, I got a jump scare from Ridley showing up, which I think is great. Like,
it's the only time in the whole series where it's effective.
Yeah, and it's a creepy sound, and the fact that it just, like, blows out the speakers and clips, like, I get where, like, yes, it sounds bad, yes, it hurts to listen to, but it's also, like, I think the fact that it makes you kind of uncomfortable really works in the context of that scene. Because, like, Fusion is, like, at times likes to experiment with, like, more of, like, the horror stuff, and I feel like that Ridley fight kind of gets there.
Also, not a bad Ridley fight.
Yeah, I think it might be one of my favorites.
It's better than the one in Zero Mission, for sure.
Yeah, and better than the one in Samus Returns, so...
I really struggled with like, the Gold Space Pirates right before it, and I was down to...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
To 20 health, and there's no recharge afterwards, and there's no way to go back and heal yourself.
So, in that room, like, those Space Pirates spawn from those little guys in the vents, you know, like, as you kill
the Genesis.
Them. If you just collect the parasites of, like, if you kill those guys one at a time and collect the parasites, which is what I did the first time going through that room, it won't be able to spawn any pirates, and the room will just become unbeatable until you leave and come back. And I got very confused.
Yeah.
By the way, I apologize for bringing up the fake game, but the Genesis, like, those guys that are just, like, hanging out in the vents spitting down at you, it's a bonus boss in AM2R, which is, like, crazy.
So, on the topic of bosses, like, the bosses,
the bosses
in Fusion aren't
good.
Not,
like,
horrible,
I don't think they're, like, great, but
for
I didn't really have any
terrible bosses.
Yeah, there weren't any where I went in and was like, what even is the pattern? This is stupid. Or any that were, like, just crazy easy. Like, I always had, like, a reasonable good time of, like, okay, that's the pattern. This is what I need to do. Like, they were a little bullet spongy, but, like, overall, like, I think the bosses are
and I think
the best
bullet spongy
in the series.
Stuff is more, I think this game skews hard. Like, I think that, and I feel like that might be a little intentional.
But, but I never felt like it was, like, unfair.
No.
Like, it's difficult, but, like, even, like,
I don't
the
know,
spider
that Yakuza boss,
was
oh, yeah, it's great, unfair. Isn't it? The Yakuza boss is really good.
Sucked.
Which boss?
The spider boss. It's called Yakuza for some reason.
Oh.
If you do not know...
He's not too bad. What,
it's more like, if you don't know how to avoid that grab, oh, that boss fucking sucks.
So, I always get grabbed by him at the beginning, because I don't know exact, like... On my second run through, I'm like, oh, he's a screensaver. He just bounces within a certain bounding box, and he's extremely predictable. So, like that, that first grab always gets me.
But genuine question: do you guys not just like mash the buttons whenever he grabs you? Because like you can get out really quick.
Oh yeah.
Also,
but
if you
morph ball
in the corners, he can't get you.
He can, much like a screensaver, he can hit the corner.
Very rarely, though. It's like a pop off. Whatever.
And
he
you can see when it's coming. Like it's very easy to predict. Like he's gonna get me.
Yeah, there's a pattern to that that's very easily avoidable. And I actually kind of like the design of that boss because it does like it does punish you until you're like, oh, wait a minute, this is how I avoid it.
Now, my one critique about that boss is not the boss itself, but the fact that you go to it from your ship in the landing bay.
That's true.
With no save points between there. And it's not a difficult walk, but it's a long walk. And I feel like that's a boss that, especially your first time through, you're going to die to him at least once until you kind of figure out what he's doing.
Or 10 times.
And that, you know, listen, I won't give you crap.
I'm not going to say that it's like, oh yeah, it's a great design decision that you have to go all that way, but it's like, it's 2 minutes. That's all it is.
That's 20 minutes if you died 10 times, Matt.
I mean, if there were a 2 minute loading screen between when you died to that boss and when you respawned at it, would you think that was annoying? Because that's all it is. Like, there's no challenge or like enjoyable gameplay on that walk. It's just a long walk to get back to the boss. Like, it's just a loading screen.
I would say there is a distinct difference between playing the game and not playing the game. Yes,
but it's not like it's not even like it's a fun, like it's not like you're running down halt, like it's,
but you're getting better. You're getting a little better each time, so you take less damage on the way there.
But it's not a thing about take, because like by that point, I'm pretty sure you can like shoot through walls. Like you're not taking damage.
Yeah, that walk isn't the hard part.
But you're still like, it's mostly going into Morph Ball, placing a bomb, waiting for the bomb to blow up, dropping down a level, placing a, like it's a loading screen. It's the only time the game is that egregious was putting a save point that far away from a boss, but it's a really annoying save point.
I don't think it was that big a deal personally.
It's also by default, when you go, that's the save point at the ship, you save going into the ship, not coming out of it. So when you save, you'll save before a really long conversation with Adam about those dumb creatures from Super Metroid.
I love that conversation.
I do love that conversation.
So
I don't
great.
Like seeing it over and over again.
No, yeah,
so then
we'll
the next time
afterwards.
You go like, oh, like the next time you come back and you have to sit through that conversation again, unless you remember, okay, after this conversation, I need to get back into the ship and save again so I don't have to go through that cutscene again.
So that's actually my biggest complaint with the game, is that none of these cutscenes are skippable. And if you've played the game 100 times like I have, you just don't care.
And Adam ain't a fast talker.
No.
Okay, well, I'll say this. The conversations with Adam are probably less than 2 minutes. They're like 45 seconds.
Yeah, but then when you have a two-minute walk after that.
This is, oh, God.
Once again, I'm looking for things to complain about in this game.
Well, that I'm just checking my Twitch VOD. That specific conversation, fully voice acted by me while talking to the chat, was 50 seconds.
That's too long to see twice.
Speaking of that moment, I do love that moment where it's like, there's a bunch of people up here, and you go, man, it's just a bunch of goddamn creatures. but then those creatures save you in the end. It's very sweet. I like that. They taught me how to wall jump back in the day.
Allegedly.
Now they're here to,
Where did they come from?
Did you not save the animals, Zach, in Super Metroid?
Yeah. I did not.
Oh, you save the animals?
Do you save the animals?
You do. Have you guys, wait, have you guys never watched GDQ?
No, Matt, nobody watches GDQ.
I don't know what that means.
Like 50,000 people watch GDQ.
Do you know how many people are on the
GDQ?
Earth, Matt? 50,000 people
the
is
game
nobody.
Game Quick, the speedrun marathon.
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch that.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
No.
Zach's just like, I don't listen to hip-hop.
Yeah, fuck that and fuck you.
During the escape sequence of Super Metroid, the animals that teach you how to wall jump and how to shine spark that appear in Metroid Fusion, they are hidden in a room off to the side during the escape sequence that you can go in and open up a path so that they can escape the planet. And then during the ending sequence, there's like a single pixel added that's just flying away from planet Zebes as it's exploding.
Holy shit.
It's kind of great.
Now I have to do that.
Now that I know that, I am going to intentionally never save those useless motherfuckers.
But they saved you. They saved you in Fusion.
No, they didn't. They bounced up a wall repeatedly while I say, just what button do I need to push, you dumb gamer?
No, but legitimately, at the right? At the end of Fusion, they're what causes the ship to...
Those were, Neil, those were different ones because I killed the first ones.
Well, I mean,
so those were not the same ones.
You like Star Fox Command. If anyone should know what a real canon ending is, it's they're
John, might I propose an alternative? Because the reason I brought up GDQ is that every single GDQ marathon, the like close to the finale, Super Metroid is the big game, and the bid war that they do every single time is kill the animals versus save the animals. And there is a third choice. Taunt the animals. Go in, acknowledge them, and leave without saving them.
That feels like the John move.
If you're speedrunning, wouldn't objectively the correct choice be to kill the animals?
That's why it's such a big bid war.
It shouldn't even be a war. It should just be kill the animals. This is not
That single bid war alone raises tens of thousands of dollars twice a year.
You killed everything else on that planet. Why do the three lemurs matter? And the ostrich?
Because they taught you to wall jump.
No, they didn't.
We should have had this conversation a month ago.
They didn't teach me how to wall jump.
I didn't remember them coming back.
You know who's a cool boss? Saris.
No, it's not. Saris fucking blows.
Saris is so cool.
Saris, I know, sucks. None of these bosses' names. Which one is Saris?
It's Shine Spark speedy boss. Snake thing.
Yeah, Saris, yeah. They actually do name. So Chris Mike could just pull that one. I think it's an okay boss. I think visually it's very cool. I like seeing the
skeleton beforehand. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Oh, yeah. That's actually like another really good moment of like storytelling and foreshadowing.
True.
Where you go to exactly where Adam tells you to go, and it's just dead.
Yeah. And another thing as far as like thinking about bosses, because it technically is a boss, is when the boiler room stuff is happening, you go there and there's just a dude there. And it turns out that it's the next parasite. Like,
that was
just the depths of it. And that's
why. Easiest boss in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but still a very cool moment.
Listen, I will admit to dying to a lot of the like post-boss fight parasites.
Really?
Yeah, I'm very bad at them.
More that I'm just low on energy from the boss fight sometimes.
And I forget that part happens, and then the thing pops. Like, I've kind of like set down the controller, and then
they
this thing comes
out. They usually give you
me.
Health is flying out of it.
Yeah.
And then I go jumping for that and get hit by the thing.
This is a really funny anecdote. When I was streaming the game, I said, like, at one point during the stream, the most embarrassing thing that could possibly happen during the stream is if I die to a Core X.
Yeah.
And, well, inevitably.
Yeah.
And it was the Core X after the easiest boss, after I said, oh man, the plant boss sucks. And then you're like, no, this is the easiest boss.
It is the easiest boss. I stand by that.
The plant boss.
And then
you
still
easy.
Died. I would get caught in the flower things a lot.
Yeah.
I maintain that my statement did not age poorly. I was right. It was very embarrassing.
And I will say with the plant boss, I think the plant boss is more annoying than difficult.
Sure.
Like, because I could see, like, if you get stuck in one of those things and, like, fall off, like, yeah, that's just annoying.
I think the plant boss is kind of similar to the plant boss in Super Metroid, where you have to shoot his seeds or whatever the heck those are, and then just kind of stand in the same place and shoot him.
Yep.
Maybe that's why I don't like the plant boss, is that the plant boss reminded me so much of Super Metroid, where like Super Metroid just loves to put you in pits where it's like a struggle to get out of, where you just spend 20 seconds just hitting the A button.
We're talking about the
plasma.
Okay, the boss with like the two platforms that's attacking you from the right side of the screen.
Yeah.
That reminded me of the Mother Brain fight.
Yeah, I was about to say that's like a lamer Mother Brain, I think.
Yeah, those spike pits, and you have this tiny platform and it's shooting stuff down from the ceiling.
Was that like a Chozo statue?
That's the second boss, which just turns into a Core X.
Okay. Why is a Chozo statue on the station?
Well, that's a good question, too.
There's a lot of things on that station.
Yeah, I think I asked that, and it's like, hey, yeah, what is that?
Wait, why would a parasite turn into a statue?
Yeah, is it organic?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because even the security robot, they go out of their way to say it has organic parts.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's more like an audience fake out, where if you've played a Metroid game before, you think, oh, this is my power up.
So
and then it's Core X.
I just because I wanted to have a list of the bosses after I just tried to pull Saris out of thin air. but apparently there's debate over that the elephant bird is apparently what they call what the boss.
I think that's because of like a weird mistranslation in a specific strategy guide.
Okay. That makes sense.
Elephant bird?
But there are some theories that it might be like the chorizo or whatever.
The chorizo.
Stupid. isn't the chorizo is like the Chozo statue that moves.
It's the robot Chozo statue.
Yeah. Yes, and that's also a weird translation thing. People are just making a big deal out of it.
That's a Spanish sausage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what it's called.
Okay, so I'm reading this from the Metroid Wiki. The name Elephant Bird is the result of a mistranslation, similar to the Varia suit. The Japanese name for this creature is simply Birdman Statue, Chojinzo, or as commonly translated, Chozo Statue. However, Zo means elephant in Japanese with a similar kanji.
Doesn't make any sense at all. What's the Varia suit called in Japan?
Barrier suit.
Yeah.
Oh, barrier. Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. But anyway, I think some of the logic is because do you fight that in Sector 1? Yeah. So I think I could see the logic of that being like the robot Chozo statue.
And there may have been more than one.
Yeah.
I guess because the Chozo were on SR388 at some point, and Sector 1 is a recreation of SR388. Yep.
Is there any reason to suspect that every Chozo statue isn't capable of standing up if it has enough power and wants to? Like, I just kind of always assumed that all the Chozo statues are actually that, but not all of them activate and try to kill you.
You know what I don't think I'm emotionally ready for when we inevitably all play Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3 after this, and also Federation Force Pinball, and maybe Hunters. The Chozo ghost fights in those are terrifying.
Yeah, I don't remember those.
Those fights fucking suck.
Yeah, I block them out.
So I remember the first time you do a Chozo ghost fight, it's terrifying, and then the second time, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, we're doing this again.
Yeah, exactly. Because it happens every time you go in the room.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just start skipping them.
Maybe Metroid Prime's not the Citizen Kane of gaming after all.
Get out. You know, the guy who said that? That former contributor to Nintendo World Report.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He has had a lot of takes. Every now and then I see his name come up and I'm like, all right, again.
Cool. another boss that I did want to bring up. There's two specifically that I want to bring up. One because of how much I love it, and one because how much I don't love it. The one that I really love is Nightmare.
Yeah! I was hoping you'd say that.
Nightmare's good.
Nightmare is not only a really good fight, but it's also like the greatest environmental storytelling moment in the entire game.
Yeah, like, they introduce it really early.
Look at this dumb face!
It is so cool how like you just first see him as a shadow in the background that he just never comments on.
Yeah.
And that's like a long time before you fight him.
Yeah. Like, because you go to Sector 5 more than any other sector in the game.
Yeah.
And then you finally get there and it's just destroyed because he just destroyed it. And it's such a cool boss fight. It's such a cool design. It's so cool. I love Nightmare so much.
Please tell me that the bad boss fight is just Nightmare and Other M.
I mean, we'll get there.
Because I forgot that Nightmare was an Other M until I watched the video. I'm like, oh, that's why I don't remember it.
I actually have, there are some positive things I can say about Nightmare and Other M. But we can get there when we get to Other M.
We're going
to
get there. The fight that I really don't like is the SAX fight at the end. Because
it's so stupid easy. He just jumps around and you shoot him.
Yeah, the problem is that, like, so normally I would be like, okay, I can't count a bad AI exploit against boss design because, like, obviously it's an oversight. I'm not supposed to do that. But the problem is that the exploit for the AI oversight in the SAX is just jumping over it, which is the easiest way to dodge
it's
it.
So easy.
It's almost a non-existent fight.
I do like the moment where the SAX just like transforms into a big mutant blob. Like, that's pretty cool. But
then it's easier afterwards.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, like, it is.
It is like once you realize it's like, oh, just hop over it and charge while you do that. Take another shot. Hop over it, charge again.
It's like in this entire game of like these are actually some really challenging boss fights for good reasons. It's just this one is such a huge letdown.
Yeah. So I've kind of two.
No, it's a good story moment.
Yeah, one counterpoint, which is just that, like, I always love this moment in Metroid games where there is that boss near the end where because you're just a super powered human at this point, like, you're just a destroyer of worlds. And I love those moments in Metroid games where you're like, you're going around with a screw attack. You have a beam that, like, shoots every part of the screen.
The victory lap.
Yeah, you can just shoot missiles like they were candy because you got 200 of them. Like, I love those moments, and that's what this boss fight is. I definitely like it. Is it's so easy to cheese, but I still like that moment.
I just wish that boss was harder because it's the friggin' SAX.
This is where, and the fact that they make the comment about how there's like 10 SAX running around. If there was something where it was like, oh, you need to get to this point on the map, and oh, there's 10 of these motherfuckers roaming around, and you have to kill them all to get there or something, like that would have been a more effective use. Even if like every fight like that was exactly, I mean, maybe a little less bullet spongy than the fight, but like even if it was like a little exploity, like it was in the boss fight that we got, just the fact that you have to take care of them in so many numbers, and maybe there's a point where there's two of them fighting you at once.
Yeah, it would have been cool, like Metroid 2 moment where you have to like hunt them down and eradicate them from this space station. Yeah, that would have been really neat.
Suddenly Fusion is 12 hours long.
They could have done it like the way that it's actually happening in the game's story is that you manage to take down this one, but there's no way you can take down the other nine, so you're just gonna blow up the whole station. Uh-huh. I think what would have been really cool is if you have this fight with just the one and then the other nine show up and you just have to go.
It
would have been nice to at least like see them, even if you don't directly interact with them, like just get a glimpse where you're like, oh crap.
Or even if, like, after the Omega Metroid fight, even when you do have your little baby Metroid SAX moment, like, what if after that, like, before you get off the ship, there's just, like, nine SAX, and it's, like, then you have to, like, run to the, like, even some kind of moment like that would have, I think, been more impactful.
It's bad that I know more about the Knights of Ren than I do about these nine other SAXs.
Well, that I assume is because you watched the Lego Halloween special, which is the most complete explanation they've ever provided for the Knights of Ren.
What if there's just an SAX in Dread?
Oh, God, that would be great.
Really cool.
If there's an SAX in Dread, I'll forgive them for the wall jump.
There's both SAX and Dark Samus Returns, so just all the Samuses in
and also
game.
And Kylo
Ren, seven Ridleys.
If Kylo Ren is in Metroid Dread, I'll forgive Rise of Skywalker.
I'm not going to go that far. Brief aside, During Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers' press conference today, he was wearing a Star Wars Rise of Skywalker sweatshirt.
Wait, what?
Now I doubt the team that I have been following my entire life.
What if we just get Adam Driver to voice Adam Malkovich?
There you go.
Let's make the Metroid movie. It's just Adam Driver playing every role.
I'm trying to imagine Adam Driver saying, "Any objections, lady?"
Yeah, he could do it.
My brain can't do
any
it.
Any objections, lady? Should we talk about Adam? Should we talk about Fusion Adam? I'm gonna be real with you guys, because I played this game when I was nine. Other M didn't exist yet. And I thought the idea of this figure, Adam Malkovich, that is just kind of spoken about in Samus's past, and we don't really know a lot about him, I thought that was interesting. And that original trailer for Fusion comes on at that one E3, and he just says the thing, and I lost my fucking mind. And we'll get there. But...
Oh, yeah. No, that was great. That trailer at that E3, phenomenal. Then the game came out.
Yeah, because that was the one that was the E3 that we met at.
Yeah.
And another thing that Joe said when we were playing this game for the Smashterpieces episode is that, hey, it's super dumb how just at the end of the game, it's like, yeah, we uploaded his brain to a computer. But
it's super dumb that he just changes sides. That was even worse to me. It's just like, okay, now...
That works for me. I think that's cool. That's good, because he kind of realizes he realizes what he is effectively. it's like he spends this entire game as nothing but a subservient computer, and then Samus reminds him of himself. And it's not like the best written thing, because it's a Nintendo game for the Game Boy Advance.
It's a Nintendo video game from 2002.
Yes, but for a Nintendo video game from 2002, I think it works.
It's probably the best written thing in the entire Metroid franchise.
Yep.
Like, I think this Adam is a lot better than the Adam and Other M.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that's the thing is, I think the stuff with Fusion is that, like, I can agree with some of the hokiness of the, it was his brain uploaded into an AR, blah, blah, blah. Like I can say that that's kind of hokey, but like it, the whole thing just kind of works. And then other M just had to come and ruin it.
We'll get there.
But like, I do like the turn at the end. I like that. I like that building the agency of Samus throughout the game as she, you know, I like those moments when you get those power ups that you're not authorized to get, and then like the heel turn of the Galactic Federation happens.
And I love that little cutscene when he tells her to like change the trajectory of the ship, and her eyes go wide. That is so great.
Yeah,
yeah. I like that toward the end of the game, like Samus actually has dialogue. Like,
yeah, for the first time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like as opposed to like, because the entire game it's just been him talking. And then, like, kind of in the last few, in like the last hour, she starts responding back to him.
Yeah, yeah. Because for most of it, it's just her talking to herself, and then it starts to be her talking to her. Yeah, old she,
like
superior.
Her picture shows up in the actual.
Yeah,
yeah.
But at no point dialogue. Does she give him a thumbs down. That should have been in there.
I mean, yeah, that's just baked into her character.
The continuity.
We didn't have the sprite budget to animate that.
She was, but it was her power cannon, so you know.
Oh,
you couldn't see
true.
Her.
That's what the Batman blades are for. She just turns those and aims them down.
No, I do like the heel, not the heel turn, but that Adam does turn and like helps you out. I just don't like how it was handled.
It's a little abrupt.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think it's literally in the moment where he's explaining how the Federation has plans for the X, and it's in that very scene where there's like, you know, going on a villainous monologue that he also changes.
That's the scene where Samus calls him Adam.
Yes.
And he has that moment of like, who is Adam? And then he just like, he almost kind of starts like self-criticizing in a way, because he's like, what would this Adam do now? Would he sit in a comfortable control room and order you to die? Yes, we know that now. But yeah. Like, I think it's great. I think it's a moment of like knowing that he is Adam. It's this feeling of like he's processing like his own kind of character failures as a commanding officer who never really had to make the hard choice of doing the right thing against orders.
I think you just explained that line to me in a way that makes a lot more sense in how I was interpreting it. The "would Adam send you off to die" wasn't like him just saying something that he thinks the human version of Adam would have done. It's him questioning himself. Okay, yeah, that works a lot better for me.
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's 2002 Nintendo, but for 2002 Nintendo, it's incredible. Yeah.
It works.
Well, you can definitely take it as him let's pretend Other M is good for a second. You can take
it's hard
it,
to do, man.
Yeah, but just, you know, push your imagination to the limit. You can definitely take that as him criticizing the way he handled that.
The stuff with his brother.
The way he acted in Other M.
So even in this hypothetical world where Other M
is not garbage,
Take out the bad parts.
Even in this hypothetical world, it still came out after, so it's still clearly not about Other M.
Oh yeah.
Yes, but in the like, Sakamoto probably didn't know where he was going with that character. But in the context of the entire franchise, you could read it that way.
I just don't like I don't like being like, oh, this retroactively fixed it.
But I do think it retroactively
gives it some context.
It does speak into it in a bit.
I will say that Fusion is beautiful.
Yes.
Just gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's prettiest. Outdoes Super Metroid for me. It's the prettiest 2D Metroid.
Here's the crazy thing I discovered about this game. Normally, you don't really think to play a Game Boy Advance game in a CRT filter, but this one really works.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it looks fantastic.
I just really like the visual style of the game, too, in a way that I feel like it's kind of grown on me over the years.
I will say, definitely was never intended to be played on anything with a backlight, because there are a lot of instances... True. Where like they'll put a black tile next to a dark blue tile, and they clearly think they're going to read as the same color.
That's where the CRT filter helps.
Yeah, you play it on a 3DS, and it's like, oh, there's just like spots on the screen where there's no tiles. Like, whoops.
It's, I mean, it is a game made for its original hardware, so.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that stream that Matt did, and the CRT filter kind of, like, takes the saturation down a notch, which is kind of helpful for a GBA game where they kind of boosted brightness and colors.
You have to make it very bright. Which,
by the way, Nintendo, my CRT filter is built into the capture card. I definitely played it on Wii U.
Yes, of course. I saw you set up a camera and aim it at your actual CRT TV that was...
Yeah, it's not. It's the Game Boy player. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, that would have been a good way to play this game.
I know, I did. Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to do that. I have my Game Boy player set up.
I did that for Zero Mission. I could not find my cartridge of Fusion, so I just did it on 3DS.
Oh, okay.
But you have to play with that GameCube D-pad. That disgusting, tiny...
No, you could use the analog stick.
I mean, that's probably not that much worse than a 3DS. Actually, the new 3DS XL D-pad is fine.
I just don't like where it's placed.
I'm looking at my VOD now because I looked up Sector 6 because you mentioned in Sector 6, and it's like there's another great storytelling moment where you get the Varia suit and then the Blue X are still going after you. Then they realize, oh shit, this isn't working.
I love that.
You know one part of the visual design that I hate? The Varia suit is the ugliest.
Yes.
I just don't like the fusion suit at all.
I'm fine with it in its base colors, like the colors it was clearly designed to be. But then once you start getting the other suit and they're like, I guess it's piss green now. then it's just like, yeah, like, no, just make it look
piss green and hot pink.
Yeah, it's so ugly.
Yeah.
I think the gravity suit also looks okay. But the Varia suit's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very happy when I got rid of it.
It's been a long time since I played Prime 1, but does it look better in 3D?
No, it looks like
it
shit
looks
in Prime
1.
It looks way worse.
Oh, man. Okay. It's like a different... It's like a totally... It looks like you just loaded in a model from another game. Like, it looks like you modded it. It looks awful.
Well, that's not great.
It looks okay in Samus Returns, I think. Oh, Matt. Okay. The vaccine and how it's not a vaccine.
I don't want to... Okay.
I mean, I do appreciate that Samus is vaccinated.
Everyone should. It's a good idea for everybody.
So, for some context, like 2 months ago, roughly, I saw people talking about like the real life vaccine given like lizard DNA and stuff, and that specifically made me think about the Metroid vaccine. And I was like, these have the same energy. And like, I started to think about it. I'm like, wait, it actually doesn't make sense for Samus to have Metroid DNA. She literally just has a vaccine. And then I remembered, like, people say, oh, well, you know, it's because of the vaccine, Samus has a weakness to cold. And it's like, big deal, so do I. And so, like, I was there, there was, like, a solid 2 months where I was really not convinced that Samus was half Metroid now. And then, like, it was literally, like, at the Metroid Dread preview event, where it's like, I'm playing Metroid Dread, and the Atom AI says, because of your Metroid DNA, you have a weakness to cold.
Right.
And I was just like, motherfucker.
Yeah. The one headcanon argument I'll make is less to that and more to like just injecting other things DNA isn't how vaccines work.
What?
And my headcanon for that is that the Chozo made the Metroids, right?
Yes.
So the Metroids were probably just engineered with Chozo DNA. And the reason that Samus was able to take it was because she already has Metroid, or she already has Chozo DNA. And so her body
helps me sleep at night.
Does it?
Yeah, good. A little bit.
Okay, that's my headcanon that somebody in the Discord posted a really interesting video about, like, the biological concepts behind the stuff in Metroid Fusion. It's like a 10-minute long video.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to check that out.
And you should watch it. I don't remember who posted it. I don't have Discord open, but it should be in the Metroid Game Club.
Shout out to that person.
Yeah.
It's Capsule J.
Capsule J posted
it. It's a good thing that, you know, Samus wasn't conscious when they offered her the shot, or else she could have been like, I don't want the Galactic Federation monitoring me when I'm in a store.
too bad they did that anyway.
In her defense, I was going to say, like, they totally are.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
If it was, like...
Samus is still anti-government.
Yeah, that's true.
She's just pro-medicine.
I really should have seen this coming, that, like, Sakamoto just doesn't know how vaccines work, because I do remember Hideo Kojima's feelings on genetics.
Hideo Kojima has a lot of weird feelings about a lot of things.
He sure fucking does. You will be ashamed of your words and deeds.
I think Sakamoto just really liked the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie where Peter Parker just gets bit and now has his DNA. Like, you see his DNA get, like, rearranged with spider DNA.
Right.
I literally think that's probably what happened.
Sakamoto's just a big fan.
Which I can respect. Those are great movies.
All right, so Metroid Fusion. I think we kind of... Does anybody have any last thoughts?
It's fucking great, man. It's my favorite 2D Metroid now.
I was just going to say, do you guys have, like, because we kind of threw these out in Discord a little bit, like, kind of rankings now that we're done with the 2D Metroids until Friday?
I sure do.
I can do a ranking.
I mean, mine is Super Metroid, still my number one. And that's, as I've kind of said when we talked about it on the last episode of this, largely nostalgic. Like, Super Metroid was just a foundational game for me, and you know, me loving the series and everything. I love Super Metroid. But, and kind of the surprise that I did not anticipate, because if you were to have asked me, there's literally a post that I wrote when Samus Returns came out where I kind of put about the idea. It's like, which one's the best Metroid? Super Metroid, Samus Returns, Zero Mission, not even including Fusion. I think after playing, you know, the kind of the four, I guess the four best versions of the saga so far, Fusion is assuredly my number two. Some of that is, as we talked about on the Zero Mission and the Samus Returns episodes, those games, playing them now, I don't love them as much as I did when I played them before.
Yeah.
And I think I've kind of settled on Zero Mission just a hair above Samus Returns. I think if Samus Returns was not like 12 hours, Samus Returns would, because I still love the feel of Samus Returns, and I'm sitting here hoping that Dread, you know, kind of assuredly is part of the top three. But I mean, time will tell.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up Samus Returns now, because Samus Returns came out after, long after Fusion, but I really appreciate how they streamline so much of the inventory in Fusion, and I'm really shocked that didn't get carried over to Samus Returns.
I think some of that's
sort
being
of
a
did.
Remake.
It sort of did. There's just so much more that it has to do.
Yeah.
I would still say that Samus Returns is a lot better than mashing the select button a million times in Super Metroid.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I guess I'll give my rankings. Super Metroid is just, it's an indisputable number one for me. I really don't think I need to explain it after I spent an entire podcast evangelizing it, but
I'm with you, brother.
It's just a game that is so specifically made for me that I struggle to imagine any other Metroid game will ever top it. My second place I would give to Fusion, because even though Zero Mission is a game that appeals more to what I want out of Metroid in the speedrunning sense, I think Fusion is overall better at being the game that it wants to be than Zero Mission is. So if Fusion, and maybe a little bit of this is nostalgia for me because it was my first Metroid and I played it when I was like literally 9 years old, and I have memories of just being bored in class and just for fun writing out the exact order of every single time you go into a different area in Fusion, because I was a weird 9 year old, and it's just so good at what it wants to be. And I feel like that's kind of what Dread is going to do as well. My number three would probably be the fake one, AM2R.
I figured that would be coming up here.
Followed by Zero Mission at number four. They are both very similar games that appeal to me for very similar reasons. I would say AM2R is better at being that speedrun technical game than Zero Mission is, because Zero Mission kind of couldn't decide whether it wanted to hold your hand or not. But I think that they're both still pretty good. And my fifth place would be Samus Returns, but I don't want to say that in a way that I mean that it's a bad game. because yeah. I think it's a good game. It's just of these five really good games, it's the one that is the least good, but it's still yeah. pretty good.
Sure.
Because I came up with this phrase specifically for my Good Vibes Gaming preview, but like the sequence band-aids of like it specifically going out of its way to stop me from sequence breaking, that really annoys me. The combat is a little frustrating because of how much start and stop it is, but it still feels really good. It doesn't feel good because it's on the 3DS and it physically hurts to play, but the design's really good overall. So I don't like. I have a lot to criticize about Samus Returns, but it's still really good. This, like, all five of these games are fucking fantastic. And I'm about to get a sixth that I'm sure will be fantastic. So it's a good time to be a Metroid fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then NES Metroid and Game Boy Metroid 2.
Don't exist.
I can't play those. I can't play them. I'm sorry. I tried.
They've been supplanted, yeah.
I did try them. I can't do it.
That's fine.
I'll hop in. So I rank my Metroids basically in terms of feel, and I think we should probably stop to give Fusion a lot of credit, because after Super Metroid, it does so much to change the feel of yes. how Samus works. I think Matt pointed out to me that she's not actually any faster, because in Super Metroid, you can hold down the run button all the time. Which I did not do.
There's a run button? That's your fault.
Never like the run button. But you know, in Fusion, like she's just very snappy, especially with the jumping, and I think the design of the levels also help with that. But yeah, she feels incredible to play as. Fusion is definitely ranked number one for me, just because of that, and as well as the environmental storytelling, the way it looks, the fast pacing of just being able to pick it up for 20 minutes and feel like you've made a lot of progress, or if you want to like burn through it in a day, you can. I think, you know, stuff like Nightmare, the set pieces with the SAX, all of it just really, really works for me. And just the feeling of tension that you feel, I know it's a little bit difficult and a little bit frustrating to kind of like take so much damage when you get hit, but it really does build that feeling of tension, that feeling of being vulnerable. So Fusion really, really works for me on just all of its levels. Afterwards, I'd have to say Samus Returns. I do have a lot of problems with it just because of how bloated it is in the middle, but it feels really, really good to play, like Matt said. So I won't say too much other than just like it was very, very fun, and I felt like each contained area that you explored was fun to explore. After that, it's got to be Zero Mission. I think I liked the feel of playing Zero Mission a lot, but I didn't love exploring each area, if that makes any sense. It seemed like it was a lot of like corridors and
there was like a sterility tubes. To Zero Mission.
Yeah.
One that I felt when I replayed it. It is the weird thing. I mean, I think outside of like Metroid NES and Metroid 2 Game Boy, I'd love all of these games. But with Zero Mission, like the sense of place that I feel like even Fusion has compared to Zero Mission, like I don't feel it as much there.
Yeah, Zero Mission play, like when I say it plays into the stuff that I like about Metroid, that's really all it does, I think.
It's very mechanical.
Yeah, I can understand why speedrunners really love it. It's just not for me. And along those same lines, Super Metroid, it's just the floatiness and the platforming just never felt right for me. And so I really do want to like give it another shot. And I do think that once it does click, it would probably end up either as one or two, because the design of that world is so, so good. But I just had very little patience with it because I just couldn't get the feel down of those controls. And so when exploration became tough, I didn't have as much grit to kind of get through it. You know, I would kind of just snap to a guide real quick or rewind anytime the platforming got tough. Whereas Fusion, I love the feel of it so much that whenever I got stuck, I would just, you know, I would stick there and try to figure it out. Yeah. So I'd say Super Metroid is at the bottom, but obviously, its legacy can't be overstated, so it's just a personal thing.
Is it my turn?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I really enjoyed playing all four of these back to back. Fusion's my number one. I think it controls the best. It actually has a story. I don't like how it locks you out towards the end, but kind of once you get used to moving between the areas with the screw attack, then you can get around pretty easily. But it locks you out to begin with. But it feels great. It looks great. The music's fun. The bosses aren't terrible. So Fusion's number one. Number two is Super. Number three is probably Zero Mission, just because it's a fast game, and Samus is also fast, and it looks pretty. I still don't like that Zero suit part, but, you know, what are you going to do? And then Samus Returns, even though it is, like we all say, way too long. It's also gorgeous, and she moves really well. And then, you know, Metroid and Metroid 2 are tied for the bottom. They're both not great.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing we can all agree on.
Yeah.
It's that Fusion's
somewhere,
great.
Somewhere Andy's listening to this episode and just, nah!
Yeah.
And Berube is saying we don't understand Metroid 2.
Yeah, sure. So I think a lot of what affects our ranking is I think you can go into Metroid looking for very different things, which is
that's
a cool thing
the
about
reason
it.
Why the series is really cool.
Yeah. And so, like, for me, I don't have any interest in 100%ing these games. I don't have any interest in intentionally sequence breaking them. And I don't care if the game allows me to or not. So for me, Fusion and Zero Mission are really close. Like, depending on the day of the week, I could definitely see Fusion being my favorite. I think overall, Zero Mission is probably my favorite, just because it feels like it takes Super Metroid and then removes all of the things that I don't like about Super Metroid.
Including the animals.
Yes.
Burn them.
Yeah.
Including Crocomire.
Oh, poor Crocomire.
Poor Crocomire.
I'm hoping he shows up in Dread.
Super Metroid is the worst because you have poor Croc. but yeah, Zero Mission, I just feel like it feels like exactly what I want Super Metroid to be. And so I think that would probably be it at the top. Fusion, definitely number two. It knows exactly what it wants to do, and it executes on it, and it builds the lack of free exploration into the plot and makes doing the Metroid thing how you break free of what's going on in the narrative. Like it.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's so incredibly intertwines what you want to do, and like it knows what you want to do and factors that into the plot of the game. And it's just it's so good. And then I'd probably put Super third. I have a lot of problems with it, but at the end of the day, I always also have a lot of fun playing it. And I completely agree with Alex that I think it kind of controls like garbage, and the platforming is just bad. But with modern technology, that's just not a problem anymore, because we have rewind.
Thanks.
So like,
rewind.
So yeah, grapple beam. You can be as janky as you want. I'll just rewind
funny, like,
anytime.
How
I miss.
Bad the grapple beam is.
It's
it really
awful.
Is.
I gotta start playing like Matt and just never use it.
Yeah, just skip it.
Yeah.
That'd be like the one kind of sequence break thing I could probably get by. And then Samus Returns, I would put at four.
I heard you correct that pronunciation there.
I'm really trying, but it's just hard because y'all are wrong. But that, like, it to echo what you guys have said, it has so many ingredients. All of the ingredients are there to be the best game in the series, and it just, because of those Game Boy things holding on there, it just doesn't quite come together right. So yeah, really hopeful for Dread. But yeah, and then I mean it's better than 1 and 2. And AM2R. And Other M. It's better than Other M.
Oh geez, yeah. Shoot, I didn't put Other M on my list. What
it doesn't,
should
okay.
I do?
No, it's okay.
Nintendo
it's okay.
does not acknowledge that Other M is a 2D Metroid game.
That's true.
Yeah, they're like, Retro, do you want this? And they're like, no.
Yeah, that it, there are currently three Metroid timelines. There's the 2D Metroid Saga, there's Metroid Prime, and then there's Other M, all by itself. All
and Metroid Pinball.
No, Metroid Pinball is part of Prime. It replaces Prime 1. We don't need the Citizen Kane of video games. We have the Citizen Kane of pinball video games. Pinball.
I don't think calling Metroid Prime Pinball the Citizen Kane of pinball games is fair to Metroid Prime Pinball. I think that really undersells it.
You guys want to know something kind of cool about Fusion that I just learned? It uses the Wario Land 4 engine, apparently.
That's weird. Oh, I read that today.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. You know what's a pretty good game? Wario Land 4.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yep. Yes.
You know which game had a lot of escape sequences? Wario Land 4.
Wario Land 4.
And Wario Land Shake It.
Yeah. Both great games. Oh, so, yeah. I think we're done talking about Metroid Fusion, which honestly, like, didn't think this was going to be the one that, like, everybody agreed on, everybody really loved.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's fun. Yeah. I probably will replay this game again in the near future. It was just really fun to play.
Yeah.
Can I ask, what was the reception of Fusion back in when it came
critically,
out?
People loved it.
Critically, very well. Okay. I think people knocked it for being too linear.
And short.
They wanted, yeah, and short. Which, honestly, both are true.
Yeah, but I'm okay with both.
Yeah.
I thought it was the perfect length.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's what, like, we were talking about, how, like, oh, it would have been cool if there were, like, 10 SAXs to kill or whatever, but also, like, no, it kind of, it tells a story that it wants to, and it's done.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's very nice.
Yeah, because I always thought it was, like, the black sheep out of the 2D Metroids, because it's not open in an exploratory.
Oh, you're thinking of Samus Return, or Metroid or, 2.
Yeah, yeah, Return of Samus. Like, I mean, I think with that, it's Super Metroid has that, like, Castlevania Symphony of the Night legacy of, like, it was the first of its kind to be that good.
Yes.
And then you, so, like, comparing, and, like, I mean, we kind of ran into that when we were talking about it, where, like, it is, Super Metroid is foundational for it.
Yeah.
Then Fusion came out and was just a little bit more straightforward. And then Zero Mission came out and was a little bit of a reaction to Fusion in how open-ended that game was.
Right.
And then there just wasn't another one for a very long time.
Until now.
Yeah, until now. Two and 4 years. We're, this is weighty times for us over here.
We're cooking with gas now.
Let's talk about the bad stuff. We had a lot of fun.
Need to pour this drink here.
Yeah, talking about having great times with Metroid Fusion. Let's talk for a little bit. I think, Matt, you were the only one to play Metroid Other M, right?
Or at least did I.
The baby.
So, Metroid Other M came out in 2010 on Wii. I remember talking to Zach at E3 2009 when it was announced, like, vibrating with excitement. With this, like, that first trailer, still incredible.
It is.
And it was because, like, it was just, Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3 had happened. There was so much anticipation for this kind of hybrid combination of 2D Metroid and 3D Metroid in a way that looked visually incredible. Team Ninja was on board. It looked stylish as all hell. They were doing this, like, focus on narrative that looked like it could be really cool. And then it came out, and actually, Zach, who reviewed it for Nintendo World Report back in 2010, and I played it around launch as well, really enjoyed playing that game, but holy shit, when it's bad, is it absolute fucking garbage.
Man.
So Matt, as the person who replayed it in the past month, you have the floor.
So I've kind of, for a long while, I've believed that Other M is pretty bad. I remember enjoying it enough when it first came out, but I was in high school. Who gives a shit what I thought back then? And for a long time, I carried with me the opinion that it was just overall pretty bad. And then when I actually go to play it for on stream, and my entire playthrough is documented on Twitch, and I realized that I might have misjudged this game for a lot of time, because I was really surprised that it's not actually as bad as I thought it was. It's a lot worse. it's a lot worse than I thought it was. I struggle to say a single good thing about this game.
I think it's beautiful. It is beautiful. That is the one thing I think visually.
Great.
Yeah, visually, especially on the Wii, it looks great.
Yeah. It might be the best looking game on the Wii.
Graphically, yeah. It looks fine. I think technically it's fine. Like, I didn't encounter any bugs or anything. It just feels like they succeeded at making the game that they wanted to. It's like from minute one, like, I'm feeling like, oh, this just, like, the using the D-pad to move around in this 3D space feels awful. You never have to actually think during combat because you just spam the D-pad lightly to do the dodge every frame, and you'll never get hit. If you want to shoot a missile, you better be ready to shoot it to point straight at the screen and then spend a full second figuring out where on earth your cursor is.
Yes.
Exploration, that's bad too. You just got to a navigation room and the door in front of you is locked. Why? We're not going to tell you, but here's a hole in the wall. You go through that hole in the wall, it sends you off on a detour to God knows where, and eventually you end up back in front of the navigation room. You didn't do anything. You're just back at the navigation room, and the door is unlocked. Wow! How about later, when you get the Shine Spark? The Shine Spark is actually a required technique in this game, so actually it's secretly the best Metroid game. But the way that you get the Shine Spark is that you go through this area, you literally do a fucking circle around, then you get back to where you started, and then Adam's like, maybe you should use the speed booster.
Oh my
and then
God,
he lets
I
you
know.
Use the speed booster, and then you need to go halfway through that loop again and then use the speed booster in a room you've already been in, that the only reason you couldn't have done it before was because Adam wouldn't let you. Hey, you just met like the teenage Ridley that looks disgusting. You're going into the active volcano on this space station now. I don't need to talk about the Varia suit because everyone's talked about the Varia suit. But after the Varia suit, you end up in this room where you clearly need the grapple beam. You have an objective marker on the opposite end of these grapple beam points that Adam told you to go through. You, like, Adam wants you to use the grapple beam to get through this room. So you look around in this room and you just try to mess with it. And you're in there for like a full minute as you're trying to figure out how to trigger the grapple beam unlock. And then someone in your Twitch chat says to turn around and go back to the navigation room.
That's right.
And when you do, Adam contacts you and says, Samus, go to Sector 3. Like, what? Why? Let me use the grapple beam. What are you doing? And all of this is before I even bring up the story, which plenty has been brought up about the story. But the one most important thing for me to bring up about the story is the scene of Adam's heroic sacrifice, where you get into Sector Zero, where they have this Metroid breeding program, because this is just Metroid Fusion. And you find a Metroid. And Samus gets ready to fight it, and then Adam shows up out of nowhere and shoots you in the fucking back, deactivating your power suit. At this point, you are on the ground unconscious as the Metroid lunges at you, and Adam defeats it with an ice beam shot. Remember that. It's important. So you wake up, and Adam explains that he shot you in the back because he can't let you go into the Metroid zone, because these Metroids have been bred not to have a weakness to ice. At which point, Samus says, wait, you just froze that one. And Adam says, yeah, that's weird. It must have been a baby, I guess. He shot her. What was his plan? He shot her to stop her from trying to use the ice beam and then saved her with the ice beam.
Maybe he just hadn't. He didn't want to give her. He hadn't given her permission to use it in that instance yet.
And on that note, the game really wants you to think that Adam is the deleter, so that you can be in this cutscene when Adam shoots you in the back and go, "Ah, he's the deleter." And the thing is, like, there's this whole section where Samus has lost contact with Adam, and she activates the space jump herself. She has this cool moment where she's like, "Any objections, Adam?" The problem is that at this point in the story, she has been given no reason to think he's the deleter. She currently thinks that the deleter killed him. And yet she's being all snide and sarcastic in this "any objections, Adam." And then after that, the game introduces a reason to suspect Adam. I hate this game so much. This game.
You don't say.
You need to bring up Nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Or so, Frozen Ridley.
My one nice thing about Nightmare in this game is that I think the fact that his sound effect is like a screaming child, and he has kind of a weird, like, gross baby face, is kind of appropriately upsetting and disturbing. And I think that plays okay.
So, like, is this the origin story of Nightmare? Is that what we're led to believe?
It's not super clear.
I think that's what we're led to believe.
Fusion, so it's more origin than Fusion is.
But wasn't Nightmare developed for the BSL station?
Yes.
Here's the
Fusion
thing.
Fusion does,
Alex,
say that.
What we know about Other M is that it doesn't make any fucking goddamn sense.
It sure doesn't. No.
Like I feel like there's an interview with Sakamoto where it's like, where does this take place in the story? And he's just like, I don't know, you figure it out.
It's really clear where it takes place, though. It's like immediately after Super Metroid. It's a plot point that they just cleaned the baby Metroid's guts off her armor. That's a literal plot point.
Yeah.
And then Samus says, actual dialogue, I looked at my hand searching for any remnants of the baby Metroid. That's an actual line of dialogue. And, oh my god, there's so much more I could say. Like, Ridley shows up, and, like, people bring up the whole, like, oh, Samus isn't tough because she should be brave against Ridley. I don't care about that. I care about the fact that Ridley's name has not been spoken in this game yet. Yeah. Who the fuck is this? What is happening?
Yeah, I actually think Samus being upset by Ridley's existence, I think that's fine, assuming you have the extensive extended universe knowledge to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, I think that character point is conceptually okay.
But it hinges on you having read the manga.
Correct. Yeah.
And like I said,
like,
at
it
this
doesn't
point,
work, but, like, the idea of it could have been done well.
Yeah.
In theory.
But none of that's in this game. Like I said, Ridley's name, I don't even think they say Ridley's name up to this point. And there's no context for what's happening. If this happens to be your first Metroid game, then you actually have no idea what's going
which,
on.
If you also think that Metroid Other M came out on the Wii in 2010, like, this, it's much like, and you hear it with Nintendo with their marketing for Metroid Dread, where they're like, you could come into this cold. And I mean, Matt, you're the only person who's actually played any of Metroid Dread so far, but it remains to be seen if that's true. If you can go into Metroid Dread without the background in the series and still have a good time.
Dread opens with a beat-by-beat recap of the entire franchise.
Yeah.
Does it
cover Other M?
I mean, it mentions Fusion. It's the same story.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's the thing, is with Other M, having played through that game, like, yes, there's so much there that, like, no, this is almost impenetrable if you do not have experience in the Metroid series.
Not that it makes that much more sense if you do.
It makes less sense if you do. There's so many plot holes in this fucking game. Like, without Mother Brain's influence, the space pirates become feral creatures. That actually contradicts the manga.
Right, which is required reading for playing this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I legitimately don't understand how this happens. And, like, the weirdest thing that I realized in this playthrough is everyone makes jokes about how Samus is just constantly talking about the baby, bottle ship, babies cry. And the thing is, that doesn't go anywhere. She's nonstop talking about the baby for the first half of the game, and then she just stops talking about the baby.
It's the motherhood theme that just permeates the entire story, Matt.
Yeah, and then once you get to a certain age, then you just forget about your kids.
Yeah, and they're actually, like, if we do accept that there's just an overarching mother theme, because spoilers for Other M, I guess, with Madeline and MB later on, there, I feel like the game wants you to have some emotional reaction to Madeline treating MB like her daughter. And there is this motherhood feeling there. And you're supposed to relate to that through Samus, who has been talking about the baby Metroid. But it doesn't fucking work, because the baby Metroid was something that was assumed to be a violent monster that turned out to be a harmless, innocent creature. And MB was assumed to be a benevolent AI that tries to kill them. It's the exact opposite. And there is no reason for Samus to relate to Madeline in that moment. And then the final boss fight of the game, if you don't, like, if you count the final encounter against MB, is just point and click.
The game is way more interested in telling a story than having gameplay, but, like, the story isn't...
Story's not good. I remember there was a hope, because it became pretty apparent once you actually, like, saw any demo of this game with the dialogue that it was going to be, like, an absolute, like, debacle of a plot. But there was that cinema mode that, like, after you played the game, you could just watch the cutscenes back to back to back, and I was like, this is going to be great, like, going to, like, drink some beers, watch this with friends, like, make a drinking game out of it, it's going to be hilarious. It's not even fun for that. It's just bad.
That shows a shocking amount of confidence in the story.
I mean, it was an innocent time. Like,
you were coming off of a bunch of great Metroid games. Yeah. What reason would you have for thinking this one wouldn't be great too?
Yep. And I definitely like, and I will stand by it, is that, like, I think this game's a little bit of a trash heap now. I did enjoy it in 2010. I was also more in a spot where the fact that it bafflingly forces you to play with just the Wii remote on its side and then switch it to point at the screen to fire missiles, I was, like, acceptable of that bullshit because I was deep into the Nintendo ecosystem at the time. Now I look at that and I'm like, what crack were they on?
There's actually, like, a full second where, like, you point at the screen and then you're like, where's my fucking cursor?
Yep.
I think I just played it as, like, a Ninja Gaiden game. Like, I don't think I ever really thought of it as even a Metroidvania. Like, I know it kind of pretends to be, but I kind of just played it as you go to the dot, you fight some things. And, like, I think that the combat's easy, but there's something about it that I do enjoy. Because I didn't replay the entire thing, but I did go back and play through the first few hours.
I did try to think of it as just a linear action game, and I still can't even appreciate it as that.
It's not a great linear action game. Like, that's
it's
problem.
A better linear action game than it is a Metroid game, though.
Yeah,
but that's, like, it's better to get stabbed than to get shot. Like, it's still pretty bad, and, like, the way that missiles work, it's not just you need to figure out where the hell you're pointing. They're also context sensitive. It just won't let you shoot missiles unless you're shooting at something you're supposed to shoot. And then half the time it just doesn't work. Which, by the way, I judge every Metroid game by its wall jump. The wall jump in Metroid Other M is also context sensitive. There's some walls that it just doesn't let you wall jump off of at all. So fuck me, I guess.
You know what, though? The wall jump's pretty easy to do.
Can you wall jump up the same wall?
You cannot wall jump up the same wall.
It's essentially, it's virtually a quick time event.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You push A up a specific set of walls, which is exactly how wall jumping should work.
There's just, like, there is so much I could say about this game. And if you want me to say something about every moment of this game, it's on our Twitch channel. You can go over to twitch.tv/Nintendo World Report, and the VODs of my entire playthrough are there. And you can see me play through the entire game. And I have something to say about every minute of it. And there is a lot to say.
Yeah, I appreciate you playing it so that I didn't have to, because that was a surreal experience.
That is the most I've ever drank on stream.
I was just going to say, Alex, I think I owe you like 2 or 3 beers at this point. So when we're at like a PAX or something someday,
we're going to watch.
I am bringing a Wii, and I'm bringing a Wii, and I'm bringing a copy of Other M. And,
guys, let's make this happen.
We're just going to hang out and play through the entire game.
I heard PAX Unplugged is requiring full vaccination. If they do that for East, I'm probably in.
There you go.
I am actually curious, Alex. I know you did not actually play the game, but you did watch me stream it. And this was your first exposure to it. So I am curious what your impressions of seeing this game were.
I mean, a lot of it's already been said. It's just like, for me, the thing that was most striking, because I wasn't actually playing the game, so I don't want to talk too much about the gameplay itself, though, it tried to do too many tricks, where it's just like, it wanted you to do the sideways Wii remote thing, it wanted you to do like the Resident Evil over the shoulder walking around thing. It just had too much going on. And then the story was horrible. The story was so bad. It, of course, like, requires you to have a master's degree in the lore of Metroid, while also, like, completely breaking that lore and making no sense whatsoever. And also, like, just a side note, the directing and just the delivery of those lines was so bad, and they have Samus talk all the time, narrating
Jessica Martin
every
was
single,
robbed.
Yes, I'm narrating every single emotion that she's feeling. And then the camera movements and the way that everything is edited together is just, it reminded me of Kingsglaive. If you've ever seen that Final Fantasy 15 movie tie-in,
yeah.
Just look up a trailer or some action scenes where it just seems like
it's not great.
No, it's awful. It just seems like the directors thought, if I shake the camera and move it around a bunch and like have a bunch of zoom-ins, it will make the movie and the scene more engaging. And just like, no, absolutely not. It's it completely obliterates the pacing of each scene, which is already, it's already horrific because of the script, the dialogue, and Samus not shutting up with her monologues. Like, this was watching Other M, I started to like really dislike Samus. It was undoing all the goodwill of these past four games. Like, I've actually come to really appreciate Samus, just like spending all this time with her as a silent character, and like you get to see some of the glimpses of what she might be like just by kind of you,
like,
as a player
coming out.
Yeah, just you as a player, just kind of like picking up on little clues of like how she is. And Other M just like doesn't give you any clues. It just spells everything out about who this person is and what she's feeling.
And none of it's good.
And none of it's good. And none of it's done with any subtlety or mature direction. No. It's just, it's awful. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can't.
You're not wrong.
I'm reminded of Roger Ebert's review of the film Battlefield Earth, where this iconic quote that I modify and recite all the time is, he says about the film, "The director has learned from better films that movies sometimes tilt their cameras, but he has not yet learned why." And I could take that quote and modify it for a lot of things in Other M.
That's and, an amazing, like, quote.
Both gameplay and story. And yep. On the note of you feeling like it just kind of ruins Samus, it's like Jessica Martin, Samus's voice actor in this game, got robbed. Like,
oh, yeah.
She in that scene that I described earlier where Adam shoots Samus and it's terrible, like, she actually gives a really good delivery of like Samus being distressed over Adam's sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's badly written, but Jessica Martin does a really good job.
She's like, clearly trying.
This is not the voice actor's fault.
No. Because like we know for a fact that she was told to deliver these lines with as little emotion as possible.
As robotically as humanly possible.
Because we learned that Sakamoto, who does not speak English, was the English voice director.
Yep.
Oh, was he? I didn't know that.
And
I just assumed they were trying to make Blade Runner.
Not
the final cut.
The theatrical cut.
Yeah. I think I mentioned Blade Runner in the stream.
I mean, it's a really easy point of comparison.
Yeah.
Like, clearly the tone they're going for.
And like, I just want to take this moment to be like, we stan Jessica Martin in this house. Because, like, she's been really active with the Metroid fandom. Like, this one Metroid fan site, the Shinesparkers, she does stuff with them all the time.
Really?
I think she's a pretty talented voice actress that just got a really bad luck with her first role, and it probably just like killed her career before it got the chance to start.
No, that sucks.
Jessica Martin deserved way better.
Do you guys remember the awful 1996 Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie?
Yes.
Okay, remember the blonde actress who's his love interest in that film?
Yes.
Yeah, she basically amounted to nothing because of that movie.
That was supposed to be her big movie, her big breakout movie. She never worked again. Because that movie was so poisonous to her career.
That was a very bad, very bad film.
Yeah,
it just sucks so much. Like this game did such a terrible thing to her career. I feel terrible watching this happen because it's not her fault and she deserved better.
Yeah,
and I don't want to hold this one game against Sakamoto because it like everyone has that one mistake in their career. I think overall, Sakamoto's a pretty good director and a pretty good story guy. I think overall, he's done a pretty good job with Metroid.
Yeah.
In this game, he overreached. He went beyond his skill set, and it didn't work out. And he did a pretty fucking bad job.
I could also see it being like I've always thought about the first person stuff as being like this feels like something that wasn't supposed to be in this game, but yeah. Some executive said they had this thing in Metroid Prime where it was first person. We should do that.
I agree with that for sure. Yep.
It was almost like it was Sakamoto being like, all those Metroid Prime guys are getting all the love. I need to try to do my own thing there.
Yeah. While also yeah. directly contradicting their story as hard as we possibly can.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I feel bad just, like, going on an hour-long rant about this game because there are people that like it. Like, there's someone
aren't in there,
our there's someone in our Discord that really likes it. And my thing is that I don't want, like, when I give my opinions on these games, I don't want to tell people that they should feel a different way. If you like you other M... If you like Other M, then I don't want to convince you not to like it. But it's very important to me that people understand how I feel about something and why I feel about that so that they understand where I'm coming from. And I struggle to find anything that I like in this game.
Matt, I am thrilled that I have another person in our community who hates this game as much as me.
How much do you hate it? Like a 7 out of 10?
I gave it a 7 out of 10, but later in life,
time has been a cruel mistress to that.
Time has
game.
Been a very yeah. cruel mistress. Like at the time,
I wanted to give you shit, but I get it. Like it was a decade ago,
and yeah. at the time, like it was so pretty, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could forgive a lot because it was the first kind of the first time we'd seen a 2D Metroid game, for lack of a better term, in 3D. And if you push past the story, if you just focus on the gameplay. It's kind of there.
Yeah.
Although I really hate being locked out of stuff. I really yeah. hated that. But man, when you include the story and the pixel hunts are unforgivable.
I would not have agreed that, like, I would not agree that that the gameplay is good divorced from the story now, but 10 years ago, I totally would have.
Yeah.
So I understand. Get it.
I think the gameplay is a 7 out of 10, which I can enjoy.
Play the whole game yeah. and tell me you still think that.
I have yeah, recently. I think that
the problem
I have.
With the gameplay is that the gameplay is so... It relies so heavily on the story that, yeah. like, mm-hmm. if you were to remove the story, that's not really a thing. Like, it's not a full game.
Yeah. The story dictates yeah. the gameplay in a big way.
Yeah.
And also, the gravity suit sucks.
I don't even remember the gravity suit being in the game.
It's a purple glow around her regular power suit.
Oh, that's right. Listen, yeah.
They put a lot of time getting that one suit to look really good.
And also, she spends the entire nightmare fight with gravity being manipulated before she
right.
turns on the gravity suit without Adam's authorization. Which, right. like, yep. hey, fuck you. And then you fight Nightmare again. I'm so mad about Nightmare being in this game.
Makes no sense. No part of this game makes sense.
There's one more thing, one thing that I want to say, because this is something that over the 10 years since I played this game, I completely forgot. And it's not really a big deal, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's wild. So the Metroid Queen that you fight as the final boss, Samus's monologue explains that it's very rare for Metroids to be able to turn into a queen. And since all the Metroids in this game were cloned from the baby, that means the baby was going to be a queen.
Oh.
And it's just like, are you fucking serious?
But Metroids can only turn into a queen when they're exposed to SR388's radiation.
I don't know. It's just, it's so stupid to me that the game goes like the baby was really special and was going to be a queen.
So I know, let's end the Other M discussion, the decision discussion on one part that I find kind of funny. And I think it might be relevant for anybody who maybe played Fusion and didn't play Other M, just to know some of the plot hole contradictions that exist with Metroid Other M. So Matt, being as you're the person who has suffered the most for this, like, what are the egregious things that Other M does that just make no sense when you look at Fusion?
I mean, the whole pirates going feral without Mother Brain thing is the biggest one. I wouldn't say that it's really contradictions so much as it's just the exact same fucking story. But the big thing, the thing that obsessed me so much is Nightmare, because it doesn't make any fucking sense for Nightmare to be here, because Fusion says that Nightmare was created on the BSL, and the Nightmare fight in Other M I don't like nearly as much, and it has this generic action movie score, whereas the fight in Fusion has like this sort of creepy vibe to it with its music. And there's this stupid thing where the game goes out of its way to make sure you realize that Ridley's corpse is gone after you fight the Metroid Queen. So that means that the Ridley corpse in Fusion is the Other M Ridley, because I guess that plot hole with how did they get Ridley's corpse off of Zebes when it blew up was so important that we needed to resolve it.
It's weird that, like, of all of the plot holes they introduced, they were like, but that one we need to fill.
So the weird thing, is that it forces you to see that if you fight Fantoon, because to get to Fantoon, they actually arbitrarily locked off the area that he's in, and you have to go past Ridley's corpse and Nightmare's corpse and notice that they're both gone.
Oh, so somebody came in the last 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And then you unlock the concept art for Fantoon, and it turns out he's an interdimensional space wizard.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know what the...
Wait, I missed this. What?
The concept art for Other M reveals that Fantoon is an interdimensional space wizard, and in Super Metroid, you only see his head. And in Other M, you see his hands.
Yeah, that's right.
Yo. All right, never mind. This game's great.
I am legitimately not certain how I feel about that.
I did like seeing the concept art. That was fun. I just wish it had been attached to a better game.
That's where they can go with this after this whole Samus and Metroid arc. Like, I feel like there's a lot of unexplored possibilities for interdimensional space wizards.
She's going to take the fight to the space wizards.
Oh, yeah. That feels natural.
Is there anything else that's like... really stupid.
Here's one, Matt. At no point in Metroid Fusion is she like, oh, this again.
Yeah, it actually, like, it's fucking wild that, like, the resolution at the end of Other M is, like, the Federation has, like, this dark side to it and just totally screws over Samus and has a conspiracy to revive Metroids. Anyway, she's gonna go work with them. Wait a minute, they're reviving Metroids!
Again?
There's also, like, I mentioned this earlier, but there's the moment where it's like, would Adam sit in a quiet command room and order you to die? And not only does he basically do that to Samus, but there's, like, a whole, like, flashback scene of him doing that to his little brother that Anthony brings up for no reason.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
And there's a scene where it's like you meet up with Anthony and Anthony's just like, hey, remember that time that Adam ordered his brother to die?
Okay. I've put so much of this game out of my mind. It feels kind of good.
But once again, can't you kind of read that as the point of that line? Is yes, Adam would do that and he doesn't want to do that again. Like, it's a redemption thing.
Yes, but it's also just like Adam is tactically stupid because of that grapple beam bullshit.
Sure. Yeah, it doesn't excuse the bad, but like I feel like that's the way that they're intending you to look at that line in the context of this game.
Yes, but there's also a weird fixation that Samus has on any flashback where it's like in the flashback she's like really bitter and indignant that everyone's looking down on her because she's a woman. And it's like, that's a pretty normal reaction. I think you should be angry that people are looking down on you because she's a woman. And then her narration says, I was really going through a temper tantrum. I should have understood better. And it's
I mean,
what?
You know how women.
Oh, God.
Dames, am I right?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, it's just like in Fusion, it felt like Samus was like talking about Adam and he died while she was still part of the Federation. And true. It's like, no, he died like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
He actually died like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like right before this, she actually like went to his funeral.
Yeah, that one's not as big a deal, but it's just really funny to me. It's like she was clearly saying this guy died a long time ago, and it's like, no, it like just happened.
It might also just be that like Samus is crazy, and like her mental state is really deteriorating.
She's an unreliable narrator.
Do you have any idea how much happened between Metroid 2 and Super Metroid?
Like, she's been through a lot, and she is not okay.
Because after the events of every single Metroid Prime game, she goes and just murders an entire planet.
I mean, she at this point, she is half human, half Chozo, half X, half Metroid.
That's so, too many like, halves.
There is a lot going on. Like, she's really fucked up.
Metroid Dread just ends with her going to therapy.
In conclusion, Fusion is great.
Yes.
Yeah, Metroid Fusion is very good, and Samus Aran's career is rope of sand.
Samus what?
No, Samus Aran, Neil.
Samus Aran.
Samus Aran.
The daughter of Virginia and Rodney.
I believe if you actually look up the origins of the name Samus, I think it should technically be pronounced much more like Seamus.
Please, no.
Seamus Aran.
Yeah, if you want to pronounce this name 100% right and not in the Japanese way, then it ought to be Seamus Aran.
It's actually Seamus O'Houlihan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it should be pronounced lady.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
All right. Well, if there's any objections, lady, then let's wrap this up.
I agree.
Adam says that in the opening cutscene of Dread, by the way.
Oh.
Spoilers. I'm
very, very excited. Yeah. See y'all next mission. And I guess next mission, we'll probably not be talking about Metroid Dread yet, but we will be doing a game club in this. It'll be different because it's a brand new game. But we'll be doing a follow-up thing on Dread probably at the end of October. So stay tuned for details on that. So anyway, go to the Metroid Game Club channel on our Discord server. You can join the discussion there. We'll probably be kicking over to talking about Dread very, very soon. And we'll leave that up for a while, eventually archive it. But, you know, come here, talk about Metroid games. Feel free to send us any kind of emails. We'll totally take some Metroid listener mail. And connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com is that email address if you want to send anything along. You can also bug us over at ConnectivityNWR on Twitter. You can always just drop stuff in the Discord and we'll either, you know, talk to you there or bring it up on the show. So thank you very much for everybody who participated that's here. Also, Andy and Xander, I don't know if I'm missing anybody else who guested on an episode with this, but it's been a ton of fun kind of talking way too much about these games. Like I think collectively what we've talked, it's been like you could have listened to all of our podcasting and probably beaten 3 Metroid games
easily,
which means you should listen to all of them while playing Dread.
Thank you Matt, thank you John, thank you Zach, thank you Alex, and talk to you guys real soon. See you on the other side, because we're going to be playing Metro Dread soon, fellas.
See you next mission.
Bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.
Spider-Man 3, the best of that trilogy.